You've had a beautiful life that you've enjoyed, which everybody doesn't have, Mr. Silva. You're very fortunate that way. And what you look back on is good.
All good, yes.
You haven't got a whole bunch of regrets that I should have done this or I should have done that.
No. They don't say that very long. They say if I'd wanted them more, I could have had them. And if I'd have had them, it would have been at a cost. Mm-hmm. I blame myself for not being a real good businessman. And yet I was a conservative businessman.
Well, you were good in business. It's just that you didn't go for businesses where you'd earn a lot of money.
Exactly. I'd have had to go into another business. Mm-hmm. And I'd have done well. Mm-hmm. No ifs and ands to it. I'd have done well. But it would have been fun.
Yeah.
What was it? Trying to think now. One fella. Oh, yes. He was very successful. His name was Mallet. And his wife died, too. So his son's running a bigger supply business. Mm-hmm. International. His wife, after he died, his wife made it international. Mm-hmm. And he loafed at my place. He ended up with 70 horses and a big place up on top of Laurel Mountain, which they still own. Mm-hmm. And, I could tell stories about him. He could write 2 books about that. But anyway, he had been broke several times. And I said, Lou, the difference between you and I was that you made many mistakes and came out of it enough to pay off for them. You made many mistakes. I didn't make any, but I didn't do anything. You can't make mistakes and you don't do anything.
Well, you did.
You did a lot.
You did a lot. You just didn't stay in things that you didn't want to be in. Don't forget, you ran that little variety store. You did okay. You did okay in what you did. You just didn't go into a lot of other things.
I couldn't miss. No matter what you put me in, I did all right. And enjoyed it. That was the fun part of it.
Yes, that's the nice part.
Yeah.
That's so you can look back well. And now you go out socially with people that your wife has introduced you to.
Oh, yeah. We go to the ball now. We go to several formals.
You go into a tux?
Oh, sure.
Really?
I'm a tux, sure.
Wow.
It's a little old, but I
no.
You don't change very much.
That's very good. That's very good.
Oh, sure. That's, in fact, in November. There'll be a ball at Rolling Rock.
So you really keep up with your wife.
Much more than most people
difference.
Do, you know.
What? The social?
The social, yeah, much more.
Yeah.
I'm not too crazy, but I don't need it.
Yeah.
But every time I go meet all these people, it's like a party.
But you see, the nice thing is that despite the difference in age, you've been able to keep up with all the things that she's doing, which is just wonderful.
Yeah, that part of it. She's sensitive about it lately, about my age. Mm-hmm. See, she just said, he has to get up and walk around. Mm-hmm. That's extreme, you know, it's an exaggeration. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's true.
Yeah.
But it's an exaggeration. But we talked about that last night. She's crazy about Ireland. She just came back from Ireland. She's going again a couple.
Because of the horses?
Oh, yes. And no, she's going to a veterinary
conference?
Symposium or some conference, yeah, in Ireland.
I see.
But that's where you can write it off.
You don't go?
Oh, no. I told you, this is Shangri-La.
I'm
here for the duration.
You'd love to stay. That's good.
Yeah.
Do you have any more questions for Mr. Selznick? I think we have for Uncle Milty, I think we have pulled him apart for everything that he knows. You've done a beautiful job.
Thank you very much.
It's really been a pleasure to listen to you. You're quite wonderful. I can understand how your wife enjoys your company with her friends.
Yeah, with her friends especially. Yes. Because her friends really do like me.
How could they not? You probably always have something good to say.
I remember, I'm the only Jew.
Yes.
In that group.
Well, she is.
She's Jewish, sure.
Yeah, so there are two of you who are Jewish.
Yeah.
That's good.
But, that's why.
But you're relaxed there.
Oh, very.
Good.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm always the popular one in the groups. Always.
Good.
I like it. I like it. And I like it. You know why? Not because of what I have to say. Of course, they ask a lot of questions, but they don't understand half of what I say. In fact, I had a, and the Jewish humor, I have to hold back on that.
Yeah, you do.
There are no Jews there.
Yeah, right.
So I have to live two worlds.
Yes.
But the, but they run to me right away when they see me. Kahneman says to humor, which I credited with longevity. And I tell you why I do. I have a little dog here. I trained.
Yes, I saw the dog out here.
Yeah,
she
just brought
before.
It back from Ireland.
Oh.
And I trained it. Mm-hmm. And I'm magic with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain things I can't teach her. She loves people. She keeps jumping up on them. But she knows probably 28 or 30 commands now.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I always did that. I used to do that professionally, too.
You
for
did?
A while, yeah. I came into it. I fell into it.
Trained dogs?
Yes. Yeah.
You must have a lot of patience to train like that.
You know, a fellow, there was a great horseman who was one of my mentors through books. And somebody came to him and they watched him work with his horses and they said, "You must have a lot of patience to do that." And he said, "A little bit of skill, too."
That's right. That's right. You have to have more than just
patience. It's logic and common sense. Now, for example, why did I quit training dogs? Because I could train the dogs. That's very simple. Dogs are intelligent. I couldn't teach the owners of the dogs
how to do
to
it.
Handle, how mm-hmm. to do it. Mm-hmm. The insecurity of man keeps them from being good at the training. For example, when you want to teach a dog and you have a leash on it, and he goes to pull on you, you see a dog pulling somebody down the road, that's wrong. He's supposed to stay at your side, relaxed, with no, not being held. So you pull back on the dog, and then you relax. That's his reward for having come back to you. So eventually you take the leash off. He doesn't need anymore.
He just stays with you.
But you can't get people to let go at the end. They'll pull back, but they won't relax, you see. Now, as far as animals being in, we know that, I guess. That they're so good for you. You can't pet a dog. You can't hug a child without relaxing through your whole body.
Right.
You can't be tense and hug
right.
or pet.
Right.
So being with the animals all day, if I lose my temper, which I, as a young man, I had quite a temper, you're defeating a purpose.
Right. Where did you train? When were you training dogs?
At Shenley Park. And then another time was funny, too, because I paid for my kid and my boy with training some dogs, my hospital bill at that time.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I the fellow came along. It was interesting in this case. My wife was pregnant. A fellow, Harold Schmidt, an attorney, very successful attorney, he's dead now, too. All these people are much younger than me, by the way. And he called me and he said, "Milt, I just bought a dog for Barbara, his daughter, Barbara Schmidt. Oh, I guess she's married." And he said, "I want you to train it for me. You trained a dog for me 25 years ago," which this is already 50 years before that. So it was almost 75 years. "And it was a wonderful dog. I want you to train this dog." And I said, "No, Harold. It takes too much out of me. You can't throw the dog in a stall and feed it and forget about you. The dog, you have to be tending to it all the time like
right.
that." And I said, "No, I can't do it." And he said, "Look, charge me anything you want." He said, at that time, it's quite a while, he said, "Charge me $100 a week." So it was only 15 minutes a day. $100
yeah.
a week wasn't bad. So
good pay.
Yeah, so I said, "Okay, Harold, bring the dog." He brought a bloodhound puppy with big ears flopped and it would drank out of the toilet and then the ears would be like mops and get it all over you. So my wife got a little narrow high pot and the dog had his mouth in it but not his ears. So anyway, I trained the dog for 3 weeks and I got $300. And a fellow by the name of Holtzman, I don't know, I've never seen him since, and he's in a, I think, financial business. But anyway, I was telling him a story and showing him the dog. And I taught the dog sort of a language, a little seven-word language. And I showed him the dog. And he said, "Well, And I was belittling him paying that much money to have it done. And he said, would you do that for Doc for me?
Oh, so, my. So that's how you went into business.
Well, no, that wasn't. No, this was much later. So he brought me this dog. And it was a dumb dog, terrible, but we trained it. And he gave me, so $600, and I just turned around and paid the hospital for my son out there, North Hills, Paso.
Wow, with that money.
With that money, so I said, I bought you with a train of dogs. But originally it was a Chamois Quark.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long story, too. It's almost a storybook story.
But you did
started training.
Yeah, but you did work with dogs.
Yeah, I had it one time at 15 in training.
15?
Yeah. Wow. When your kids were born, did you
give up a little bit?
No, and did you watch them a lot and
I raised
and train?
Them.
I was just going to say that. I mean,
it
was training.
Day and night, never left. That was my job. They were there.
Oh, you.
When my kids went to school, you think I'd have let them get on a bus and worry about them all day whether they get on the bus? I put them on that bus.
And you met them?
Coming home, they didn't have to because it's right at the corner. I could see them. Yeah, but to put them on a worry all day on a highway like that,
yes.
Did they ever get on the bus?
Yes.
You see. And I directed traffic. And
did
I,
you
and
spend...
I loaded all the neighbors' kids. Well, too many, but one family of five.
Did you spend time with them in the evening?
Oh, constantly.
You did?
Oh, yeah. At that time, they were full-time. I think that's the lonesomest time in my life, beside evenings in the Army, was entertaining my daughter as a two-year-old. A yearling and a two-year-old, yearling, a two-year-old, without my wife. She was in school. That was a bad time.
So you were taking care of them full-time, the children?
Yes, you might say that. Oh. That's the fastest man on a diaper in the world.
Yeah.
That was unusual in those
days. In those
especially,
days,
yes, not
pleasant.
Now.
It changed my whole life. I was very selfish before that.
Uh-huh.
And then you just live for them. That's all it was in the world.
So you,
I was in my 60s, you know.
Yes. You were more like a grandfather to them.
Yes, I did for the outsider.
Yes.
But I get mad, you know.
Yes.
And one fellow, I was in the Zaire store with my daughter, and we still are very close. She calls me 3 times a week.
That's beautiful. I was going to ask you that.
Yeah. And talks too much, really. It's hard to get her off the phone. But anyway, much closer than, oh, well, not any closer than the boy, but different things to talk to. And he's way over my head. He's too sharp.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we talk sports and all, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how to use a computer. I was lucky I could turn on a VCR. You
right,
know.
Right. But you have a good relationship with him.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Yeah, wonderful.
Do they spend any time here?
Not very much.
No.
Well, my daughter, she's busy, you know, and she is. Of course, she does an awful lot of telephone work, too, and she can run the place almost on the phone. But she comes home, drives in, or takes a train. The train right down the bottom of the hill, you know. It's wonderful. Yeah.
And your son drives in from Philly.
Yeah, when he comes in, he comes in from Philly and doesn't come in as often.
Yeah.
But keeps in contact regularly.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So you developed a good relationship with your children.
Oh, on everything. Just on everything. Yeah, we can talk for hours on the phone, you know.
Do you have any more questions? No. So we're going to thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
For these long,
it's
long
really been
sessions.
Pleasant.
It was a pleasure to be with you. It's been pleasant for us,
it's
too.
Like reliving, you know, in a talk like that. If somebody, you know, the one thing you don't want to do is talk to people until you, they want to run away from you.
No.
Very interesting.
I don't think anybody want to run away from you.
My wife can't tell jokes. And it's a knack of telling jokes which you can't be, you, if it's not born with it, don't
exactly.
try.
Exactly, right.
And she can't. And her sense, her family have no sense of humor. The only sense of humor they have is in scandal where they have something to say about each other, but they laugh about each other. You know, the typical.
Yeah.
Play bridge all the time, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't stand to play bridge because I got other things I enjoy more. But
right.
I bet you I'd been able to, I'd enjoy bridge too.
Oh, I'm sure you could have.
Yeah.
I have a couple little questions, but I don't know that we want this on tape. From the early session, something you were talking about, the Johnstown flood?
Oh, I didn't know much about that. What did I say? Oh, I know what it was. My dad remembered his birthday. He was 13 during the Johnstown flood.
Yes,
that's
I
all
have
that
down.
Was.
I have that
That's
down.
All that was.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
in Meltzer with
Meltzer's
Posner?
Mm-hmm. Are Posner's, well, Henry, wouldn't be senior now, Henry the Junior.
Uh-huh.
He's a three now. In fact, he just called me yesterday. We pushed him out here Sunday, Henry the Third,
uh-huh.
and he had to go to Argentina. Uh-huh. You know, he owns 5,000 miles of railroad in Argentina.
Oh,
man. See, you were talking about rich, rich Jews.
Yes, right.
Not, well, you know what he did at Temple. I mean,
yes, she was telling me.
$1 million that, but that wasn't anything. He and Mellon gave $13 million to Carnegie Mellon.
$13 million. And
that's
there's
beautiful.
A whole name for Helen and Harry Posner. And
did you know
it?
That?
No,
at
I'm
CMU?
Running, excuse me, I'm running Ned into town.
Yeah, my horseshoe and the blacksmith.
Oh.
I don't see you, though. It's nice to meet you.
It was good to meet you.
Go ahead.
Henry Posner.
Henry Posner married my cousin, first cousin.
I see.
Ida Meltzer.
Oh.
She lived late into her 90s, too. That was Henry Posner Jr.'s mother.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Meltzer. They were the family in Pittsburgh, my family and their family, and they were really close.
Mm-hmm. What business were they in, the Posners?
Oh my, they're in their holding company now. The Hawthorne Corporation is a holding company. These are really big. So
big
they buy businesses.
I see.
Do they buy big businesses?
And get them going.
But he started, Henry Sr., he was a sign painter. Mm-hmm. He ended up in the advertising business, you know. He was a sign painter at 20 years old. He was climbing ladders and painting signs.
But the junior still keeps in touch with you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but it, oddly, in later life, they didn't before. Of course, his mother and my sister were very close.
I see.
Because they were girls together, same mm-hmm. age. But Henry Jr. got interested in family. He wanted the family tree and all that kind of stuff, and he was asking, he wanted my, not that I had enough, really, except on my mother's side. I go, so I can tell you, they're
you
all...
You remember that.
Well, there's even a town in Poland, although we're Litvaks, but in Poland there's a town named Posner, or named my mother's name, Pazol.
Really?
Yeah.
Pazol.
P-A-Z-O-L.
Yeah, there was a town, there still is. I guess it's gone now. They're all dead. I'm sure they're dead.
They may have changed it, too.
Well, they're all dead. Mm-hmm. But then Henry the Third, now there's four boys. Henry the Second has four boys. And the Third, he just started to contact us, and we went to a party in town here last month. And he said, I want to come out and visit you. Now, he called yesterday, and he couldn't make it because he's got...
Had to go to Argentina.
He's got some skin problem, too, anyway, and he couldn't come this Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so that's good. Because we don't have any other railroads now, see.
Oh.
Actually, in Pittsburgh, that's...
Well, through my wife. And Alan.
And Alan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really a great guy.
That's Alan.
Lefkowitz, the attorney.
Yes. He didn't
Frankie.
Have...
Frankie.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He didn't have a real happy life either because he... I remember he lived in the North Side as a kid. He used to beat him up like it did me, only I could fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big over...
You could probably have run very fast.
Oh, much faster than him, but I didn't run. That was the trouble. When, that's a say. You said, what, you want to change? I wish I'd have been smarter. I'd have run.
I wouldn't get beat up like you did.
Exactly.
Good. Well, how about if we call it a day, right?
Now, what were you were taking notes on the highlights of what you thought about.